Blog Talk Radio.
Gloria, touching me. Gloria, touching me.
Reverend Sheila,
Priscilla and his son, Deacon Hargrave, Father God. Just bless them and bless the whole family. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So continue to pray for everyone who are through this coronavirus. I bless God for sending healing to my nephew who had observed you on this morning. And even though we can't be there with him, the doctor's been updating my sister, and I'm so blessed. Amen. And he put a post up, and because my sister Nikki is real good with that hammer, I saw, like, you know, you need to speak to those doctors and speak up for yourself when it comes down to your health. So he put a post up, I believe, on Facebook saying, if you have any loved ones in a hospital because we can't get to them, he said, you all need to be calling that front desk to make sure they're doing the proper things they need to do since we can't reach them. Amen. So I know that was an eye-opener for him. My mom always say that the dog that has the loudest bark, amen, and gets the bone. Amen, amen. So we do bless God for just for healing and thank God. Amen. So we want to, hi, Lillian Watson. Amen. Hi, Sister Jewel Good, Deaconess Jewel Good. So we bless God on today. So we're going to be coming from, last week we talked about Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I'm going to read that scripture for you because we put some stuff down in our hope chest, believe in God, y'all. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord reads, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. We'll read it again. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Hallelujah. Plans to give you hope and a future. God knows the plans for all of us. And I know during this time, we are, everybody's practicing social distancing, or they should be practicing it. And I know some people have lost their jobs, but we just believe in God, that God, we know that he's a way maker. We know that he's a restorer. He restored everything back what you have lost. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness, and most of all on this phone call, on this broadcast, is a living witness of what he can do. Remember Catherine Reynolds, Evangelist Catherine, if God continues to healing to our body, we just believe in God. We believe it even when you don't see it, but you believe it by faith, like, I truly believe that God will heal, and he heals her body. Deacon Randy believed that he will heal, and he healed. Let me tell you something. I know everything is in God's perfect plan and his perfect peace, and even though we may pray, God is the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Amen. So we just believe and we trust God. And also remember young Deacon Butcher, God continue to heal his body. So we bless God. Amen. So you all. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Renee. Amen. So we do bless God. So I'm going to be coming from my book, Broken. I mean, Shadows Are Not Broken on today, y'all. Coming from Broken, the chapter Broken. So those who have purchased my book, grab it from the archive. Shake the dust off, because I know y'all didn't read it, because it's an easy read. And the ones who have not, you can still go on Amazon under Wanda Martin, Shadows Are Not Broken, and purchase it. But if not, I still want you all to just listen in, because our mom is going to read a passage from the chapter Broken. But next week, we'll be on for another chapter. So I am going to have like a live Q&A, like if you all want to ask me some questions or just some things that you want to share. I'm going to try to do a personal group where on Facebook where you can go in, and you don't feel comfortable asking with everybody. We can go in as a small group or however many. But you know what, y'all? Let me tell you something. It may not be a small group. I ain't going to lie. Okay. So however many people may join on. So before my mom gets into the passage, please remember to put all those things that you're hoping for in your hope chest, as we talked last week, and know that God knows our future. We're also thank God for my sister Penny. Hope Victoria Studios travels everywhere. Amen. Hope Victoria Studios travels everywhere. So I'm paper for my sister's home today. So we bless God for her healing. Amen. So our hope chest we talked about last week, putting those things in that we believe in God for, we hoping for. But remember, when you write it down, whatever you're hoping for, know that you are that thing when you write out and when you put it in your hope chest, whether it's a hope chest, a drawer, an envelope, your pocketbook, whatever you may feel like you want to put it in your pocket and keep it there. Amen. So let my mom is going to begin.
Psalm 143:7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Again, Psalm 143:7.
Oh, it's the chapter broken. That's one of my verses that I gave. I love that. We'll read that verse again, Mom. I love that verse. Psalm 143:7. It says, hear me speedily. That means you want God to hear you like right now, God. That's why I just love him, because let me tell you, loving on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him while you're running for your life, while you're walking down the street, you ain't got to run and find a southwest corner to go in and try to pray to find God. No, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And this is David, you know, in despair, talking to the Lord. And sometimes in our life, we get to that place where we feel like we in despair. Lord, hear me speedily. Like, we can't wait for God to hear us, hear me speedily, O God. But don't you know that just like Jeremiah 29:11 says that he knows the plans for us, he knows the plans he has for our life, but we're praying not to harm you. He ain't trying to harm you. Sometimes we feel like, God, you know, we in this place, Father, are you angry with me? Did I do something, Father? Did I deserve this, dear Lord? No. Mm-mm. We always think of the bad. We think that it's something that we did when our life go in a different direction. But the Bible says that we're going to suffer persecution and go through trials and tribulations. So we're not exempt for that. Jesus was not exempt when he was on this earth. Amen? So don't feel like it's something that you did when life goes to a left turn. But don't you know if it goes left, God is there with you? Hallelujah. How he knows our end. He said prayers to prosper us, our hope in the future. Amen? So let me read that. Hear me speedily. Psalm 143:7 says, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit is failing. Hide not thy face from me. Sometimes you feel like, God, are you hiding from me? Do I feel you there, Lord? It said, let I be like unto them that go down to the pit. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I'm broken. I felt a cold chill go down my spine as he looked at me. It was not the same look I received when we were dating. It was not the same look I received when we first married. It was not even the same look I received from him during our honeymoon. Now he was looking at me with scorn in his eyes, as if he hated me. I remember him staring at my legs while he was telling me about his mistake. He was looking at me with hatred in his eyes. I felt like covering myself from head to toe with something that would prevent him from ever seeing me again, hating the way I was shaped. But it was too late for me to hide because he made me feel ashamed of my body.
Oh, man. That was That was a portion of my chapter broken. Being in a toxic relationship with my ex-husband, and it's something, because in that time of that brokenness, when I saw that scripture in terms of Lord, hear me speedily, because you can really feel like, you know, Lord, my spirit is failing. Like, my spirit is falling. Like everything is like I'm just being robbed right now. And it's something, because it's amazing how when God delivers you from something and when you have forgiven that person, that's why in toxic relationships, whether you on a job, whether it's your coworker or in your community or your neighbor or even within your own home, and we in homes with people who we like, you know what? I'm not feeling you right now, but you still have to put on a good face in Jesus' name. Amen. You still have to be a Christian no matter how many times people oppress you and treat you mean with cruelty, because God calls us to be that way. We got to face people every day that mistreat us and in ways that are harmful. Rather, they may not be physically touching you, but just mentally with their words, or how about with their stare? So, if we come a time where we feel like, Lord, like, what did I do that's so wrong where this person don't respect me? I don't care if it's your community, on a job, on a bus stop you run into somebody, or just somebody you randomly meet who just when we were dating. He looked at me like he didn't like my body shape or he didn't like who I was. Imagine, and I know you all can imagine, you can visibly imagine being in that situation. It don't have to be a relationship. It could be somebody on your job, your coworker, looking at you like you disgusted or you disgust or you ask them a question and they get angry like you dumb because you asked me this question. No, questions are good. How are you supposed to learn it? If you don't ask, you won't learn. Amen. People can put you in a place where they make you feel like less than who you are, who God created you to be. But don't you know you wonderfully and fearfully made? And don't allow people to make you feel like you ashamed. So for me, it was a relationship. But for some of you, it may be your coworkers, or maybe your community or your neighbors, or even your loved ones, or even sometimes your relatives may make you feel like you stand out. You don't fit in because so-and-so done this and done that. So, you know, you're not equal to them. They can make you feel like doing social gatherings at the home and family gatherings like you're nothing. So you all don't always have to be a relationship. But in terms of that, myself being ashamed of who God created me to be. You know, I had to get myself together. So I was like, hear me speedily, oh God, like my faith failed, like my spirit failed, everything in me is falling because I feel like I've been down to the pit. That's how King David felt like in a period of this time where, Lord, like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just so much in anguish right now. Amen. So just know that be encouraged if you're in a situation like that. No, God created us to be different. We're supposed to be different. He didn't create us to be the same person. So, you know, I just want to tell you all to hold on to your self-esteem. Don't allow nobody to make you feel like you're nothing. And even when people have made you feel like you're nothing, and then you have to turn around and get them a helping hand, that's the killer right there. But you know what? You still got to do it. Because why? Because you're a Christian. Amen? And God called you to do those things, being nice to people. Don't treat them like they treat you. Amen? So, Mama, you want to continue? Hi, Quady. Mm-hmm. Hi, Kitty. Mm-hmm.
Before I married him, there was nothing I liked more than going shopping for clothing that flattered my figure. I was a real woman, and I was proud of how God had made me. I was proud of the beautiful body he had blessed me with, and I loved being who I was. After he began to ridicule and berate me, I became ashamed of the body I had always considered a blessing. I now looked upon it as something to be insecure about. I was still the same weight that I was when we were dating. I was still the same weight as I was when we had our wedding. Now, all of a sudden, I had become unattractive to him. Shortly after one of his degrading conversations, I found out that I was pregnant. I did not suspect anything because I had not gained any weight, but I was feeling very nauseous. My mom and sister suggested I take a pregnancy test. When I did, I discovered it was positive. I went to the doctors and learned that the baby was due on our wedding anniversary. I was overjoyed with the news. Although the marriage was in trouble, I thought a baby would help to fix the relationship. Mm-hmm. Much to my dismay, I returned to the doctor 9 weeks later, only to discover that I had miscarried. Mm-hmm. I could not believe this had happened to me, mm-hmm. and I was devastated. I cried so hard until I didn't believe that I could cry any longer or any harder. Mm-hmm. My feelings were so hurt, and that's when that's when the real loneliness began.
Okay. Amen. So thank you, Mom. She's so awesome for reading. I love it. But that was when I thought things couldn't get no worse than what they were. You know, and at that time I found out that I was pregnant, and the baby was supposed to be due on our wedding anniversary. And I'm like, oh my God, how cool is that? And even though our marriage was in trouble, I felt like, oh my God, a baby will make the situation even better and happy. Not so, because I learned that when there's a boy and when there's trouble there, things don't make it better. You have to become better on the inside. You have to become better. But we place different things in our life, or maybe we go shopping, or maybe this will make us feel better. But then when you get back home, you're like, oh my God, I'm at the same place where I was before. You got to fix that with whatever on the inside of you, what's going on. And then the loneliness starts to seep in. But another thing, how about when, because in that period of time, that when people have insecurities themselves, they begin to put you down. But really, they insecure their own selves. And then how about when you even go on a job interview and they may feel like they size up and they feel like you're not, you don't look good, you're not good for the job because of your look. They don't like your hair. They don't like your face, your skin too light, your skin too dark, you medium tone, or you too tall, you too heavy. What kind? Or I don't like your nationality. No matter what culture it is, people will actually size you up and say, hey, I don't think that you would fit because of all of these hip things. But it's so crazy because it's crazy how people will berate you and make you feel like that you're nothing. And you're like, well, how come I didn't get the job? I'm qualified for it. And they looking at you, and you find out it's because they don't like your hair or the way that you were shaped, or you too big, you too small, or you too tall, you too short. How do you size somebody up like that? But that's when you have to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that God didn't make no junk. He didn't make no trash. Sometimes people even like the way you talk. I had a problem at one time with the way I speak. And I'm like, hold up. It wasn't the way I speak. It was my tone. Let me tell you something. That really goes into play. I should not say this, but when the bill collector calls you, I'll be like, no, my mommy not here. Okay. Let me go look. I start falling in love for who I was. So what if I sound like a kid? But when you see me, hey, I'm 53. Yes. Let me tell you something. That was a while ago, y'all, when I was trying to get my credit right, y'all. But I'm good now. I got bill collectors calling me like, "Are you being a good steward over my credit?" But let me tell you something. You got to fall in love with how God called you to fall in love. I can't help that I sound like I'm a teenager or I'm a younger than who I am. This is the voice that God gave me, so I fell in love with my voice, y'all. Quickly, do you hear me? Oh, my God, so good. Don't ask his mommy at home. No, she's not here.
People are so disrespectful.
They are disrespectful, Renee. They are very disrespectful, Renee.
Renee,
think
of my mommy not here. Psalm 27:9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Psalm 27:9.
Amen.
Let me read this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. At first rejection came, loneliness followed. Words could not express the hurt that I felt when I lost my baby. The deep hurt that was unexplainable. I was in shock and could not believe that God would allow this to happen to me, especially when he knew how badly I wanted a baby. Everything should have been perfect. I was married, and the baby's due date was on our wedding anniversary. My life should have been perfect. So what else could I possibly want? What else was there to want? My pain was so deep that only God could get inside the illness.
Yeah.
I was so hurt that God would allow this to happen to me. I cried until my tear supply was exhausted. More reality sank and multiplied because I craved the warmth and comfort of my husband's arms, which of course did not happen. Then I started thinking about myself and what could have caused this to happen. Maybe it was because I was praising the Lord so hard and a praise dance. I was doing too much jumping up and down. But then I thought about other women who had miscarried. Many of them had praised the Lord in a different way that wasn't a dance, and those who were not as active as I was. Maybe it was me. I just don't understand why this happened to me, and with an attitude. The more I thought about it and finally allowed my spirit to quiet down and refrain from questioning God, then I was able to hear God say it was for me to help somebody else. I remember lying in the bed one night, and I felt very lonely. I felt the loneliness wrap itself around me like a comforter. Then I felt the presence of the Lord sitting on the bed. That sort of comfort covered my whole body until I fell asleep. That took my mind back to a few years before my marriage, when the Lord said to me, no one can comfort you like I can.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I am rejoicing right here. Do you hear me? Rejoicing. And let me tell you something. In the midst of writing this book, I know we got some future authors on here, like Evangelist Trisha and Quady, my God, baby Quady. I know that God is doing a thing, and I know he is doing a work and a move. Hallelujah. But I so remember it because when I was going over writing my book, it's so crazy because the Lord stopped me when I started breaking down as I was typing. This was years ago before I published my book, and he said, you don't got to cry. He said, why are you crying? You don't have to cry because you healed and delivered. You just telling your story now. I said, you better go. Let me tell you, I wiped my eyes and kept on typing. He's like, look, you telling your story now, honey. You delivered. You telling your story. I said, you know what, God? Yes. Hallelujah. So for those who are writing in the process of writing, you feel like, I can't write this book because it's too painful. God has already set you free and delivered you. You just telling your story to help somebody else out now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me tell you, even from Tanya, maybe on his Zachary, writing the book, the ups and downs of teaching children and the woes, but the good side of teaching children. You know, I know it's a lot of authors that's on here, you know, that is coming forth. Amen. So in this time, when we are Christian, in this time where we're home, we can just keep on writing and just keep on journaling. Just keep journaling. God will put it all together. Hallelujah. But I so remember this part in my life because I'm like, first it was the rejection. Then it was the loneliness that set in. And it set in so deep. Oh, my God. I could not, like I said, you. I don't care how many times a line came over my iPhone to embrace me and to hold me. Only God, because when they left, only God. And even when I didn't get it for myself at the time, God, let me tell you something. When God came up in that room, when I felt like I couldn't get no lonelier, and I felt the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, walk up into that room and sit on the bed with me. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. And I just felt warmth go through my whole body. So I was laying on the other side. Jesus walked up into the room and said, I got you, baby. I will hold you. I will rock you in the cradle of my arms. Hallelujah. So God did not forget about you, even when you feel like, Lord, I'm mourning and I'm still mourning. Guess what? It's okay to cry. It's okay to say, God, I need you. Help me, dear Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. So if you feel like you're in that lonely place, don't, it does, children can't replace that lonely place. People think clothes can't replace it, but Jesus can replace the hurt. Now, remember, years ago, the Lord told me, way before marriage, nobody can comfort you like I can. And when those words resonated in my mind, oh, my God, Lord, you told me that years ago. Nobody can comfort you like I can. And it's so true, because nobody could comfort me like the Lord can. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Nobody can comfort you like God can. Hallelujah. My lines are open. If you all want to press 1, I'll take your call. Amen. Even in the midst of me talking, I just want to hear from you, because I know we can all think about a situation, even if on the workplace when somebody rejected us or somebody made us feel like we was an inadequate for the job, even though you know you're qualified for it. Hallelujah. Even though you know you're qualified to be a community leader and they say, no, you're not. Whatever it is, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mom, you can finish reading.
Scripture, next scripture is, I will pray, woo, the Father, he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you forever.
Yes.
That came from John 14, chapter 14, verse 16.
Yes, yes.
We often look for man to comfort us and fill the void, but no one can fill some void. No one but God. Himself can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not our spouse, our children, or parents. Mm-hmm. Only the Lord.
Yes.
John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Hallelujah.
That he may abide with you forever. Lo and behold, I discovered that the Lord has a purpose in everything.
Yes.
He even has a purpose in helping to win us through the trauma of miscarriage.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The Lord is faithful and helped me to start ministering again.
Yes.
I began ministering to women who had miscarried as I got over the initial shock of losing my own child.
Yes.
I began worshiping the Lord like never before. It was as if I had fallen even more deeply in love with God as I lost my baby.
Yes.
The Lord is so faithful to us. A couple of months later, he blessed me to get pregnant again, and once more, 4.5 years later, I know in effect that after devastation comes the glory of the Lord,
woo,
and he is sure to shine upon us
and
give back double what we lost.
Amen.
To everything there is a season and to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1.
Yes.
I never will forget the June 2003 Women's Conference at my church.
Uh-huh.
I was set free from depression and at that powerful event. Thoughts of suicide was insanely inside, and also inside my life, left my life. The preacher for that evening knew nothing about me and my situation. The Lord spoke to my spirit through her and told me to be free. I cried and screamed until I dropped. I felt myself being freed from bondage.
Whew.
No one knew I had been suffering to that extent. My family and friends may have assumed, but really didn't know how beaten up I was on the inside from that marriage. Who would have imagined that could have happened while being with someone who claimed to love the Lord?
Mm. Mm.
There's a scripture.
Okay. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To everything, there is a season. Let me tell you something. God is so powerful, y'all. God is so good. When I tell you, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm telling you, honey, God is faithful, y'all. He your baby full term. Hallelujah. But he used me to help other women. And at the time, there were so many women who miscarried at that time. And I didn't understand, God, why would you do me like this? Was it because I was shouting too much in church? What was I doing, Father? But God said, baby, it wasn't none of those things. Things just happened. But when it happened, God started using me to help other women. Hallelujah, Jesus. And they were, my phone was flooded with women miscarrying. Hallelujah. But then, what, 9 months later or a whole couple of months later, I had my son. Then I had my daughter 4.5 years later. So God is going to restore. If it's your finances, he's able to restore your finances, which was lost. Hallelujah. Is it a broken heart? Huh? God will mend broken pieces back together again. Is it a sorrowful spirit? God will mend that broken heart. He will fill that void in your life. Whatever it is, if it's a job, oh yes, hallelujah, Jesus. He will give you a whole brand new job. If it's a new mind, if it's a new heart, your way of thinking, hallelujah, Jesus. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? But what I learned in that situation is that we look for people to change, but God called me to change on the inside. That's why loving myself and embracing and hugging me and getting me back. Because I didn't come into the relationship like that. I came in a relationship with high self-esteem. But somewhere I was knocked down and I allowed it to knock me down. So you can't blame the person who's doing it, but you can say, you know what? I ain't got to take this no more. I'm not saying walking out the door, but I'm saying fix yourself in that situation. If God didn't call you to go nowhere, you fix yourself in that situation and give that situation over to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Healing and a better life. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There was healing. was going on without me even saying something. I remember Reverend Schultz, Pam would come over and her, she would play, the kids would play. I would sit on one couch, she would sit on the other. She wouldn't say a word to me, because that's another thing. You got to know when to say something, when not to say anything. Sometimes you just want to be left alone, but you just want the company. And we sat there for like 2 hours while the kids played, they ate. They went and played again. Pam read. She was always a reader. Read, still read today. Reading, but she never said nothing to me. You know what she said when she walked out that door? Love you, Wynn, and I'll call you later. Hallelujah. That meant so much to me that a person asked me, what's going on? No, you see something going on, pray for me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Jesus. God will tell you when to say something and when not to say anything. And he will tell you when to listen or just to be and let them know that, hey, I'm here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So my time is up. You want to read something else before I go? Are you good?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You want to read over there?
One scripture.
Yeah, my mom will read the scripture again.
Mm-hmm. It comes from Isaiah 61:7. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Isaiah 61:7.
Amen. If there's some scriptures that you all want me to post, let me know and I'll post them on the Hope Victorious page or Instagram page. Just let me know. And I'll read your comments later and I will repost the scriptures. Amen. That was from my book, Shattered But Not Broken, on Amazon under Wanda Martin. I'll be doing a series of our book club, you guys, for the next couple of weeks. So if you don't have it, you can purchase it. If not, you can still listen in, you guys. And hallelujah. So just be encouraged on today. Amen. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We bless you. We lift you up and give you the highest praise, oh God. I thank you for making a way out of no way, God. I thank you for everyone that's on this line, God. If anyone on here is being oppressed, Father God, by the community, by their neighbors, by the job, by their loved ones, God. Lord, I pray, Father God, Lord, you would deliver them from that, God, in the name of Jesus, God. For most of all, don't move until God tells you to move. Don't shift until God shifts it for you. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Because they that wait on the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for being a refuge in a time of trouble, God. A refuge in the very present help, God. Hallelujah, God. A refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Down the cross, so we may have everlasting life. Who says our word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Know that God is on your side. Know that he is delivered, and know that you will hope in the Lord at all times. Hope in the Lord at all times, y'all. Amen. And know that you are victorious. So hope in God and know that you are victorious. I love you all. I see you all on next Tuesday again at 1 o'clock. Bring your book. Hallelujah. Work the dust off out of our archives. Go purchase it. But I still want you to join on, even if you don't have it. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. God bless. Mm-hmm.